Good morning, Jake. It was a fantastic week of high school football yesterday. I know we have a lot to get into.
We do have a lot to get into.
Lots of scores from around the state. A lot of great games.
Yeah,
I was actually
just going to say that. A lot of great games that we'll get into here in a little later. A couple good interviews coming up as well. We'll have Coach Marty Uverard from NBA. His Big Red was victorious last night, and Coach Brunetti, Ellie Brunetti, from Pearl Cone. His Firebirds were also victorious last night. But let's get into some Week 3 scores. First, Shelbyville Central was victorious over Coffee County last night, 32-28. And Oakland was victorious at home over Haywood, 49-6. Cheatham County loses on the road at Cannon County, 48-16. Giles County tops Fayetteville, 38-7. Forest beats Community at home, 55-14. Gordonsville defends their home turf and beats Trousdale County 41-0. Green Hill improves to 3-0. We talked to Green Hill head coach Josh Krautz a couple weeks ago, and they beat Summit 20-0 last night. I think Josh Krautz has a good thing going over there at Green Hill, Parker.
I think it's pretty safe to say they're off to a 3-0 start. And lots of talent over there.
Lots
of talent, especially on the perimeter with their wide receivers. Should be a team to look out for.
0-2 Howard gets a win at home over Republic, 30-0. Mount Juliet, that's another one of those Wilson County schools that is on fire right now. 27-0 over Gallatin at home. Lebanon beats Warren County 35-0 on the road and gets that first win of the year. Sequatchie County beats Watertown 33-28 to improve to 2-1. Wilson Central gets a win at home over Laverne 14-6. Antioch stays hot and beats Cane Ridge at home 40-6. Columbia tops Hunter's Lane at home 24-0. Moore County gets their first district win of the year over Eagleville on the road 21-14. Parker, is there anything that is on that page or scores that stand out to you that we'll cover later in the show that really jumped out off the scoreboard in week three?
Well, I will say this: Antioch, they got the big win last night over Cane Ridge, 40-6, and they're off to a 3-0 start. And I was listening to Football Frenzy Live yesterday on Fox 17, and they haven't won consecutive games dating back to 2016. So the 3-0 start is their best start in quite a while. And I'm telling you what, they have some talent as well over there and a team that can make some noise.
Yes, I think we mentioned it last week when Antioch took on Nolensville. That if you have a great quarterback, I think everything in this game takes care of itself. And Antioch's kind of proven that right now.
Oh, yeah. And they have tons of athletes everywhere. I mean, it seems like it's been such a dramatic shift from where they were last year to where they are this year. And, again, like I said, 3-0 start, and they're just going to keep this thing rolling.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so they'll keep it rolling. We'll turn the page, cover a couple more scores. East Nashville tops John Overton 49-7 at home. Loretto beats Harpeth 34-7 on the road to prove to 2-1. Harpeth falls to 1-2. Liberty Creek gets their first win of the year, 23-12, over Smith County. And White House moves to 2-1 in a 34-7 win over Montgomery Central. In a later interview, as I mentioned, we'll talk with Ellie Brunetti of Pearl Cone High School. His Pearl Cone Firebirds move to 41-7 over Creekwood, and they move to 2-2. Rough start for Pearl Cone, Parker, but two straight wins back-to-back. And I think, we mentioned it last week, Ellie Brunetti's getting his team on the right path.
Yeah, and I mean, we talked about this a bunch. We talked about this Pearl Cone team. They, again, it's not about how you start, and I know it's cliche, but it's about how they finish. And, I mean, last night getting a big win to bounce back in a major way. This is a team that, again, I mean, has some guys on this roster that are going to play at the next level, and they've just scheduled tough early, and their schedule doesn't get any easier if you're looking at it. But this is a team who won the state championship last year and could very well do that again this year if they get things figured out.
Yes, absolutely. So now we'll get into some games that stood out to us. For me, it's Maplewood and Spring Hill. Maplewood tops Spring Hill 19-14. And, you know, big shout out to Maplewood. You know, you got two really tough games to start the year. You know, you fall, you know, 34-3 at Hunter's Lane in the Battle of Dickerson Pike in week one. And then you go on the road to BGA last week. That was supposed to have been a home game. You go on the road to BGA last week in a last minute change. And, you know, things just don't go your way in the first 2 weeks. You know, you're 0-2. And then you come out here and you beat Spring Hill in a tough, gritty 19-14 win. So, you know, shout out to BGA. And, you know, Parker, both of us can talk about this for a moment. When you start 0-2 like that, it's really kind of easy to get down on yourself.
Oh, 100%. And I remember I asked Christian Peterson last week from Middle Tennessee Christian, you know, we live in such an age where everybody's attention spans are getting shorter. And if you're not starting out scoring 70 points a game, I mean, people automatically, you know, flip that switch and just turn it off.
Yeah,
completely.
Absolutely.
And it's so easy to do that. But, you know, credit to Maplewood. I mean, they got the brakes beat off of them last week at BGA and just able to come back this week, completely flush it and get a big time win.
Yeah.
You know, speaks to that program.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, shorter attention span. It's also an age of social media where everything is accessible, and you know, it feels like 1,000 eyeballs are on you, especially in this sport of football where, you know, the game is always evolving. And, you know, if you're not scoring 70 points a game, if you're not starting out 1-0, 2-0, and so forth, you know, people kind of write you off there in the beginning of the year. And, you know, if anybody has written off this Maplewood team, I'd say not so fast. To quote Lee Corso.
To quote the great Lee Corso himself.
Not so fast. Maplewood's got an answer.
Right. Yeah, and just, you know, I just remember, you know, and I'm sure you can attest to this too, just back in high school, you lose to an opponent who I don't believe Maplewood and BGA play that often. But, you know, when you lose, you don't know too much about a team. You get the doors blown off of you. It is so easy to get down on yourself. And Maplewood just did not do that. And,
yeah,
I mean, I love the resiliency. I think that's something that should be highlighted more because, I mean, we've seen this. Think about it in college. You know, LSU last week lost to USC in the first game of the season. How many people are already writing off LSU? I mean, you lose one game and all of a sudden the world comes crashing down. It's just not that way.
Yeah, and I believe that Spring Hill game, I was going to say that I can't – it's not a region game. I was checking to see if it's a region game, and it's not. And I was going to say, you know, that first region win can mean a lot. And, yeah, but that first win in general means a lot. Because it feels like a weight has been lifted off your shoulders. Parker, what's a game that stood out to you last night?
So the game that stood out to me was Houston and Germantown. We're going to West Tennessee here. Houston, the number 3 ranked team in the state, coming off of their state championship run last
year. Exactly.
They're taking on Germantown. And this was a game that was – there was over 5,000 fans in attendance.
Really?
And for a high school game in Tennessee, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Very wet and rainy conditions, but that didn't really stop both of these teams from scoring. It was pretty low scoring after the first quarter. Houston led 7-3 at the end of the first. But then from there on out, it was just fireworks. You know, and the final score ended up being 36-30, Houston County over Germantown. And there were 3 lead changes and 2 ties. At one point, it was tied 10-10 in the second quarter, and then things got really good. It was tied 30-30 at one point in the fourth quarter, but then Houston ended up scoring that late touchdown to get the win over Germantown. And, I mean, anytime you have a top 4 matchup in week 3, I mean, it really doesn't get any better than that.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to talk about some top matchups coming up here a little bit later. Coming up in the next segment, we'll have Coach Marty Uverard of the NBA Big Red. His Big Red were victorious last night on the road, 31-0 at Memphis University School. We'll break down that game and a little bit more as you listen to the Game Blitz on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back into 102.5, 106.3 The Game, The Game Blitz. Jake Wallman, Parker Kelly here on this Saturday morning talking a little high school football in the Mid-State. But first, Vanderbilt and Clark Lee look to build on a big win last week over Virginia Tech. The Commodores host Alcorn State tonight at First Bank Stadium. Pregame gets going right here on 102.5 The Game at 5 p.m. with kickoff set at 6:30. Another man with a big win last night over in Memphis is head coach Marty Uvrard of the NBA Big Red. Coach, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Coach, you guys go on the road last night and get a big 31-0 win. It can be hard for teams to go on the road, you know, with a two-plus hour road trip. Is there anything you guys get your team ready for in that situation?
You know, we just talk about it during the week how it's going to be a long bus trip. You know, you have to get out of school early. We ate lunch early. And, you know, 3 hours on a bus. We stopped in just right outside of Memphis and ate at Cracker Barrel. You know, you got to eat at Cracker Barrel when you go on the road.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And so, you know, there's a little bit of logistics that you worry about, you know, with taking your team. But you just try to prepare them, tell them what's going to happen. And as my old coach used to say, once you get there, you got to get them off the bus and get the bus ride out of them. Coach Donnelly used to say that all the time when I played for him at Middle Tennessee. But it's not that huge of a deal as long as you've got good senior leadership and guys that just kind of understand it's gonna be a little bit on the road and you're gonna sleep a little bit, but you gotta be ready to play when you get there, though.
Yeah, you bring up that senior leadership. That was one thing that I was going to turn to next. You know, you got a lot of seniors on this team, and you know that leadership was able to show itself last night in a 31-0 win against a good Christian Brothers team.
MUS.
MUS. Excuse me. Sorry. MUS.
Yeah, that's okay. Yes, for sure. I love this senior group. Three senior captains, Jack Stanley, Elias Franks, and James Traynor, just tremendous leaders in the school, on the football field. And we knew, you know, after our loss from the previous week with Innsworth, we needed to go down and play well. We're playing a freshman quarterback now, and so we just kind of wanted to go down and establish some physicality and run the ball and have some good things happen to get some turnovers on defense. And that's exactly what happened. And I'm really proud of the way our guys responded this week.
We're talking to head coach Marty Uvrard from Montgomery Bell Academy. And coach, I'm going to rewind the clock a little bit just to last week. You have a lot of talent on your team. Also went up against another talented team at Innsworth last week in a hard fought game. What did you learn about your team last week heading into this week to kind of bounce back and get a big time win?
Yeah, I think in the first half, you know, we simply got our tails whipped. We got embarrassed. And I think, in the second half of that game, we came out and we played hard. You know, I thought we tried to play a lot more physical, and it'd been real easy, you know, just kind of lay down and let the game go. But our guys responded and fought hard, and so I was certainly proud of that effort in the second half. And I think we learned that you got to come out, and you got to start fast. You can't wait for the game. Some things to happen. We had some bad breaks in the first half, had a couple of big turnovers, and they made some big plays in the game. But I really liked our response in the second half, and I think our guys figured out if you know, you just keep plugging, keep playing, and play physical, you're going to give yourself a chance. And then the next week, our guys practiced. You know, we had Labor Day you dealt with being out of school, and our guys all showed up for practice and just said, Coach, let's go. Let's get this thing going and get our freshman quarterback believing. We had a great week of practice, and then it showed up on the field this past Friday against NUS.
And, Coach, I know you've already talked about that senior leadership that you have on the roster, but I also think it's important to kind of focus on the newcomers or players that are getting some more minutes on Friday nights. How do you feel they've been able to acclimate to the pressure of playing for your program at NBA?
Yeah, it's funny. We have a lot of seniors that play this year. There's not very many underclassmen that are playing. Our whole offensive line is seniors, but all of them are really brand new. We had one of our captains, James Trainer, I mentioned, he was slated to be a defensive lineman, and we went to him back in March and said, hey, we need you to be our center this year. You know, we're trying to just fit the right pieces of the puzzle. And he never wavered, said, coach, you put me wherever you need me for this team, and we did. And so we've got a ton of seniors that play, not a whole lot of underclassmen. Obviously, our freshman quarterback is been put in the light here because of our junior quarterback Hugh Price. You know, broke his collarbone in the first game of against Pearl Cone, and our freshman came in the second half and just played incredible, nothing short of incredible against Pearl Cone, and we got a lot of seniors that play, but not a lot of experience. Most of them have never played, real snaps in a varsity game.
Coach, I wanted to turn the conversation now to next week and Christ Presbyterian coming across to play you guys. You know, Ingle Martin's off to a really great start over there once again. What have you seen from Christ Presbyterian that, you know, obviously you may have not seen in the past, or you know, stuff that they do really well?
Well, I hadn't studied them yet, but like always, I know Ingle and those guys, they do a great job. They're very sound. They might not do a whole lot on, you know, like defense, but they're very good at what they do. Their fundamentals sound. They fit gaps. They run the football, and they're a physical team. It's what you're gonna face when you face that team. And he's got some really good players, like always, and it's just a tough matchup when you play those guys. Just very well coached, and they play with a lot of heart, and all you do is look up in the paper on Saturday morning and see another W by their name. So it's going to be a big challenge for our guys, but I think it's a game our guys will be ready to play.
And Coach, last one for you. I hate to look too far ahead, but just kind of looking through your schedule, the road doesn't get much easier from here. And I know the focus is going 1-0 every week, but how do you get your guys, your seniors who may not have a lot of game experience, but you know, have kind of been thrown into the fire, how do you get them ready to play each week? Or is it something where they're just internally motivated?
I think we have a lot of that internal motivation, but and you're right, our schedule is crazy hard. If you look at our schedule from top to bottom, it is extremely hard. Our league is tough, and then our outer region opponents are off the chart just as far as just good football teams. And so every week you have to prepare, you have to get the right mindset, and you do. You know, it's a cliche, but it's very true. It's one game at a time. You can't look ahead and see what's out there. You just got to focus like on CPA this coming week. It's tough, and especially for 16, 17, 18-year-old kids. But I do, like I said, I think there's a lot of maturity with this group, and it's a fun group to coach. They want to practice. They want to play in them. It's really fun to coach these guys.
Well, Coach, thank you for joining us this morning, and good luck to you guys the rest of the way. Good luck this weekend or this coming week against CPA, and we hope to talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Thank you for having me on.
That was head coach Marty Uverard of the NBA Big Red as they were victorious on the road last night over at Memphis University School by a score of 31-0. A couple more scores before we hit another break. Smyrna gets their first win of the year over Siegel, 30-13. We talked about Maplewood topping Spring Hill earlier in the show, 19-14. Marshall County gets a big win over Station Camp by a score of 40-0. Stewart's Creek gets their second win of the year at home over Hillsboro, 35-0. Tullahoma enters the win column for the first time this year by a score of 21-19. And looking down the list, Parker Fairview shuts out Stewart County by a score of 35-0. We talked to Chris Hughes last week from Fairview. I think he's got another good team over there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very interesting conversation with him last week, and huge credit to them for being able to pitch a shutout. And, you know, like, I mean, we've talked to all these coaches, and the common theme has been going 1-0 every week. And that was something that Chris Hughes has definitely preached to his team. So a huge shout out to them.
Yeah. And they play in a really, really tough county. With Williamson County, you got schools like Centennial, Page, Independence, you know. So I mean, you know, it's kind of it feels like, you know, they're all over there fighting for the spotlight and you know, bumping each other out of the way and stuff. And so, you know, shout out to Fairview for pitching a shutout last night by a score of 35-0. And Nolensville gets another shutout as they top McGavick 38-0. Coming up next is Coach Ellie Brunetti of the Firebirds over at Pearl Cone. His Firebirds proved victorious last night over Creekwood. We'll talk about it next as you listen to the Game Blitz on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back into the Game Blitz, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Jake Wallman joined by Parker Kelly, running things on the other side of the glass, helping us sound good. Catch the Sounds in action today. The National Sounds are hosting the Gwinnett Stripers in a six-game series, and Game 5 is tonight at First Tennessee Park. We hope you tune in to hear Jeff Hem call all the action. First pitch is at 6:35. Pre-game begins at 6:20 on 94.9 The Fan. And a few more scores as we look to get head coach Tony Brunetti on the line to talk about his Pearl Cone Firebirds. Ravenwood topped Blackman last night 14-7 over in Williamson County, talking about all those tough Williamson County teams a moment ago. Riverdale loses to Beach 7-0, tough loss for the Warriors. Clarksville tops Kenwood 42-12. Kirkwood tops Clarksville Northwest 30-0. Dixon County gets their first win of the year over Clarksville Northeast 27-0. Looking at some D2 scores, Ezel Harding gets a big one-point win over Glencliff 19-18. Briarcrest Christian comes to Nashville and falls to Lipscomb Academy 35-21. PCA gets a big 38-point win, 38-0 over Mount Juliet Christian to move to 2-1. And a game of the night, Parker, that we haven't touched on yet, but a great friend of the show, Bo Kennedy, just texted in. BGA tops Nashville Christian 35-28. And, you know, we were talking about that game off air, Bo Kennedy and I, a fourth and goal, 20 yards away to tie it for NCS, and Arnett Hayes picked off NCS at the 3-yard line, and then a 3rd and 6 backed up a 86-yard touchdown pass from Caden Marable to Locke Kennedy. Also saw that Locke Kennedy had a big interception in that game as well. I think BGA is the real deal.
I think so, too. And, you know, coming into last night, they were averaging 65 points a game on offense. That's an absolutely absurd number. And they scored 68 last week.
69.
So, 69 last week. I mean, this is – I mean, just offense galore over there.
Yeah, and they did score – you know, you mentioned 68. They did score 68 2 weeks ago in a win over Knox Webb.
Right, and Nashville Christian is also a good team. They got a big win over Davidson Academy in week one. So lots of talent in the private school regions. I'd be willing to say that there might be a little bit more talent this year, specifically in the Division II schools, than we've seen in quite a while.
Well, and you know, I had the pleasure of providing color for the Maplewood BGA game last week with Bo Kennedy, who does play by play for BGA Athletics, and you know, we were talking before the game, and he had mentioned that, you know, with Coach Bobby coming in and, you know, taking over for that BGA program, offense was not going to be a problem. You know, offense is kind of his specialty from where he comes from, and he's brought in a lot of talent, and you know, I think that BGA is definitely going to be in the conversation for a state title come November.
Absolutely. I would not rule it out one bit. And again, I mean, when you have an offense that lethal.
And a defense as well.
I mean, it is a recipe for success. And nowadays, more than ever, I mean, teams are more offensive-centric. It's an offensive-centric world. And when you can score at will like that and also, you know, hold your points – or hold your opponents to 10 points or less, I mean, yeah, I could absolutely see them making a run.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, speaking of 10 points or less, Pearl Cone gets a huge win last night versus Creekwood, 41-7. You know, and we mentioned off the show, at the beginning of the show, that, you know, Pearl Cone got off to a tough start, 0-2. They had a, you know that's another team that does not shy away from competition. A tough loss to Independence in week zero, a tough loss a couple weeks ago to, NBA, 20-18, 21-15 last week against CPA. And when, that's kind of another thing. We mentioned, a school like Maplewood that's started 0-2, they get off the schneid last night in a big win, 19-14. You know, your first two losses are by combined like 6 points, one possession game.
Yeah.
And that's something that can kind of get to you as well. And they looked like they were able to air some grievances last night, 41-7 over Creekwood.
Yeah, I have two thoughts on Pearl Cone because, I mean, they went 15-0 last year en route to winning the state championship. And, you know, I think it's really important that teams not only learn because, I mean, at some point during your high school career, you're going to lose unless you're like De La Salle and, you know, won 130-plus games back in the day. But – you know, it is important to learn from the wins as well so that you do not have to learn from the losses. And this is a Pearl Cone team that didn't lose at all last year. And I want to know what they learned from last year going into this year because, I mean, they came out and, again, it's not like they're getting blown out. They're scheduling really hard. And, you know, dropping two games early in the season, especially considering what you did last year, I want to know what that does as far as the mental makeup of the team.
I think in terms of the mental makeup, I think you think you're doing everything right. It's just kind of like the chips are just falling where they are. And you just kind of keep grinding away, keep doing what you're doing because you know at some point that things are going to go your way. And it's just you just can't get out of that routine, you know?
Yeah, and – it was like Coach Uverard mentioned in the last segment when we had him on. It's like, you know, the goal is to go 1-0 every week, taking it one week, one step, one play at a time. But he talked about the difficulty in that region specifically, but I think it branches out kind of beyond that as well because you're looking at teams all across the mid-state, and there are teams that didn't necessarily have the best year last year, a la Antioch, that are off to a 3-0 start. And I mean, it just seems like there's talent spread across the state. Specifically, you know, we're focusing on the mid-state. Pearl Cone, I mean, it's just, you're right. It's where the chips fell, but huge credit to them getting a big-time win last night and responding in a good way, you know, talking about that mental makeup. You know, how do you respond? And they clearly responded in a great way last night.
Absolutely, they did respond in a great way last night. And, you know, it's a weight off their shoulders as well. That was a region game. So, you know, you're able to check that box and get that first region win. And, you know, they step out of region play coming up this week as they host Pure Academy. But then it's right back into region play. They got six straight region games starting with Montgomery Central in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and they don't have an NBA-like schedule where the road only gets tougher from here on out. They have a pretty workable schedule, I would say, in terms of where the talent lies in Region 4. So I'm interested to see what happens with Pearl Cone throughout the remainder of the regular season. And clearly things are going to get more difficult come playoff time, but they have a very workable schedule.
They do.
So I kind of want to see how that, you know, bodes for them as we get into October, early November.
A few more scores from the Division II ranks. CPA tops John Paul II, 42-9. One more note on CPA before we move on. They take on BGA in 2 weeks. That'll definitely be a fun matchup.
Absolutely. I mean, CPA has just come out of the gates swinging. I mean, won the state championship last year.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, you don't make conclusions this early in the season, but I mean, it's looking like, you know, who's going to really get in their way right now.
Mm-hmm. Donaldson Christian Academy moves to 3-0 as they top the Tennessee Heat 56-21. Davidson Academy gets their second win of the season, 31-20 over Portland. MTCS finds the win column as they beat Grace Christian of Franklin 21-14. FRA gets a big win over Webb 49-14. Brentwood Academy go on the road and they beat Christian Brothers, got MUS and Christian Brothers mixed up in that interview with Coach Uverard, 23-13. And we were talking before the show, Parker, right at halftime, Brentwood Academy's kicker hit a
59-yard field goal right before half to give the Eagles a 17-0 lead.
Well, and the big thing about that field goal, not only because it was 59 yards, that's a pretty big accomplishment for a high school kicker, but also you said it was the third longest in state history?
Third longest field goal in TSSAA history.
Wow.
And let's go ahead and go into the record books here. There's some SEC names on here.
Who we got?
Jeff Hall, Franklin County versus Brentwood Academy, hit a 62-yarder.
Wow.
Back in 1992, October 16th. And then he also hit another 62-yarder versus Oak Ridge in November of 1991. So that's the longest field goal in the state history. And then in October of 2001, Cody Bliss hit a 61-yarder, Brentwood Academy versus Macaulay. And then 1995, Courtney Levitt of Germantown hit a 59-yarder. So that's tied with Brentwood Academy's kicker. And I'm going to go ahead and ask for forgiveness now because I know I'm going to butcher his last name. Tommy Bacchiero. So now Tommy Bacchiero with the third longest field goal in the state history. And I'll tell you what, we talked to Coach Wade week one, and, you know, they suffered an early loss to CPA. And, you know, kind of, I mean, this team did not get down on themselves.
No.
They've bounced back, beat Brentwood last week in the Battle of the Brentwoods 16-6, and now get a big time win over Christian Brothers. And hey, watch out for the Eagles.
Absolutely. To wrap up the scoreboard, Innsworth hosted Osceola, Arkansas last night and gets a win 48-0. Jackson Christian topped Goodpasture 42-14. And as we talked about with Coach Uverard last segment, MBA goes on the road and gets a big win by a score of 31-0. I was looking at that Innsworth score. We will go ahead and take our final break, and we'll talk about some things coming up next week, some big games that we have on our radar, and we'll recap a little bit of that interview with Coach Uverard. You're listening to Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back into the Game Blitz, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Jake Wallman, Parker Kelly, wrapping up the last of the show. Big week three of high school football. Big week four of high school football as teams will start some region games coming up next week. We'll have a game to watch that's on our radar coming up next. But the football continues today as, you know, we got some great college games, Texas at Michigan, Arkansas at Oklahoma State. I know we're not a college football show, but come on.
Come on, man. Hey, we've been blessed by the football gods.
We have been blessed.
We had, you know, college and NFL on yesterday with the Packers and Eagles playing in Brazil, and then some high school football as well. And then, you know, we're getting college football all day today, NFL tomorrow, NFL on Monday night.
That's right.
Great weekend.
The football gods smile on us for the second week in a row. Going back to that, you know, I want to recap some of that the interview with Coach Uverard. You know, that he mentioned a freshman quarterback. Yeah, I think he got, you know, their junior quarterback got hurt a couple weeks ago against Pearl Cone in that win. And, you know, now they're playing a freshman Parker, you know, you played quarterback in high school. I don't know if you started any as a freshman, but what's the mindset, you know, going – what's the mindset of a quarterback that's coming in to play for a starter that recently got injured?
Yeah, you know, that's tough, especially coming in as a freshman. I remember, you know, the games I played in as a sophomore and just kind of, you know, being wide-eyed and, you know, first experience. It's different. And to be thrown in the fire right away as a freshman, you know that saying, baptized by fire,
right?
I mean, that's exactly what's happening over there at NBA. But, hey, credit to them because, I mean, they're still able to win. And you got to give credit to Coach Uvrard as well. You know, utilizing that freshman quarterback, he's not really – they're not asking him to go out and win the game for them.
No.
Just, you know, go out and kind of be a point guard, distribute to the talent
give
they
him
have.
Give him a chance.
Yeah, and just, you know, give him a chance, keep him in the game. He's – in no way asking him to put the team on his back. But, hey, huge shout-out to the Big Red. They're keeping it rolling over there.
They are keeping it rolling, and it doesn't get any tougher. You know, we talked about the CPA game with Coach Uvrard, and you know, week after that, Father Ryan comes to NBA, and then they get into their region schedule. You know, you got – and we were talking about this off the show before the show started – I would say the bulk of their region schedule, you know, it's a tall task, you know, having to play McCallie and Knox Catholic and Baylor and Lipscomb Academy and BA. But you get three of those, and you only do get two of those on the road. But I think that the big part of their region schedule that seems like a break is you don't have to go to Chattanooga twice in a season. You get McCallie and Baylor both at home.
Yeah, and you know, travel is not as big of a deal in high school as it, you know, it may be in, like, you know, college or even the pros.
Well, I would say it's reverse because, you know, college and the pros, they get those guys are they're on an airplane. With high school, you got to ride on a bus.
Sure. Yeah, and yeah, he, you know, Coach Uvrard talked about, you know, the second, you know, they got in Memphis last night, you know, it's important to, you know, get the bus out of them, you know, get their legs back underneath them and get them nice and warm. But, you know, the great thing about being in high school is you're still very young and you can recover a little quickly. But yeah, having, you know, go out to Memphis is not the easiest you know, trip in the world for a high schooler, but
I mean, it's 2 hours from Nashville.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, 2 hours if you're going 95 on the interstate. You know, what are we doing over here, man?
So, I mean, you know, you get a break with McCallie and Baylor having to come to you. You do have to go to Knox Catholic, but NBA is going to be one of those teams that's right there at the end of the year.
Yeah, no doubt. And, I mean, I was just going through their schedule, and, I mean, seriously, Knoxville Catholic, Lipscomb Academy, Baylor, McCallie, Baylor and McCallie alone, you know, they're the one and two ranked teams in the state. And, you know, going into those games with a freshman quarterback, you know, we're not making any predictions on this show, but that's a tall order. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens with NBA because they're off to a good start. They've already played some good teams, Pearl Cone, Ensworth. So we'll see what happens.
We will see what happens. Speaking of seeing what happens, it's now time for our game to watch next week. A lot of good games to pick from in week four. Parker, what is your game to watch?
Yeah, so my game to watch for next week, you know, I was going through the schedule, and I really think week four is going to be a great week. But my game to watch is Baylor. They're traveling to Lipscomb Academy. We're just talking about that region, that district. They travel to Lipscomb Academy. Now, Lipscomb Academy, new head coach and Jamie Graham, they're off to a 1-2 start. Baylor is 3-0 on the young season. And Baylor, let me tell you what, their running back, Shekhi Mills-Knight, getting a lot of attention from colleges. And Baylor, as of right now, I don't see many teams really getting in their way. I mean, they're just like a wrecking ball that's going forward.
Yeah.
Lipscomb Academy, you know, they're having to adjust to a couple new things. Their quarterback, Tav Schaefer, has a lot of talent, But, you know, anytime you have a top seven matchup, week four, lots of talent on either side, I think that's going to be a game to watch for sure.
My game, I'll stick with two. I'll stick with another team here in the mid-state and go with Germantown at Riverdale.
Yes, yeah.
Riverdale, yeah, you know, one. Coming off a sour 7-0 loss last night at Beach.
Man, a real barn burner.
Real barn burner. You know, I know that Will Kreisky runs a really good program over at Riverdale. Germantown had a really good year last year. Unfortunately, fell to Houston County. I believe it was in the semifinals of the state playoffs. And Germantown won this game last year. So, you know, Riverdale's kind of looking for a little bit of revenge. And Riverdale's got a tough schedule as well. They, you know, after Germantown, they go to Rockville. They host Coffee County at home, step out of region play for a week and take on Cane Ridge, at Blackman, home to Siegel, and home to Oakland. And, you know, this is a region that's predominantly been ran by Oakland over the last several years. Last year, they, you know, Riverdale snuck up and got them in the last game of the season. You know, I look to see Riverdale as a force in Region 3, 6A.
Yeah. And we were talking to Jake Bolden of Main Street Preps
a couple weeks ago.
He covered Riverdale and Smyrna. And he talked about how, I believe it was Riverdale who's running the two quarterback system as of right now. But he really, you know, highlighted their defense. And, you know, that showed last night. And, you know, only 7 total points scored. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with them. But, hey, lots of great games next week. I was also looking over in, you're going to go down to Chattanooga now, Memphis University School, MUS. They're traveling to take on Macaulay. And I misspoke. Macaulay's actually the 6th-ranked team in the state as of right now. But, you know, they suffered an early season loss. They're 1-1. But, you know, we got to see what happens with MUS. You know, following the NBA 31-0, and now they're going back on the road, taking on a really tough Macaulay team. Yeah. How do they respond?
Macaulay is a team that's always there at the end of the year, a lot like BGA and NBA and a lot of these D2 schools in our area. So that'll be a tough test on the road for Memphis University School.
Absolutely. Again, I mean, this is – if you're just a football fan – you don't have to know everything about every team, or, you know, you don't have to watch all the games. But if you're a football fan, I mean, these are some games that, you know, you're going to want to pay attention to. I mean, who knows what could happen?
Yeah.
It's a complete toss-up because there are just so many. It's evenly spread out throughout the mid-state and really across the whole state. I mean, there's so many good teams to be on the lookout for.
Absolutely. You know, looking at the rest of the week four slate, you know, as teams get into region play, these games gain a little bit more meaning, you know, because, you know, I mean, the high school season just, it can fly by. And, you know, before you know it, we'll be sitting here, it'll be the last weekend, or the first weekend of November, technically talking about week 10 or week 11, however you decide to view it, if you count week 0 as a thing. Personally, I don't. But, you know, we talked about it with Coach Uverard, and that, you know, getting that big win. You know, we talked about it about Pearl Cone getting a win in region play. As we get into the later parts of the year, these games, they take on a lot more meaning, and, you know, they do add up when it comes to playoff time.
The days are short, but the weeks, or I'm sorry, the days are long, but the weeks are short.
Yes,
in
exactly
high school,
right.
You know, you're grinding through it, going through fall camp and, you know, all spring football. But then once you get into the season, I mean, it's just one week after the other. It seems like we were just here, you know, a couple days ago, recapping week 2. We're already on week 3. And then before you know it, week 4 is going to be here. And it's just going to keep going and going and going.
Absolutely. Well, another great week of high school football is in the books. Week 3 has come and gone, and like Parker said, before you know it, we'll be right back here recapping week 4 on the Game Blitz. For Parker Kelly, I'm Jake Wallman. Thanks to Coach Uverard for stopping by as his Big Red were victorious on the road at Memphis University School 31-0. Shout out to Coach Brunetti's Firebirds for getting a big win at Creekwood last night, 41-7. You've been listening to the Game Blitz on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
Fireball.